The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Hey, welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and of course, Sangeet 106.1. We have Dr. Taylor, who's in today on a rainy Tuesday. Good afternoon, Doc.
Hello, Bass. How are you going?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, a lot of rain on the road, and
yeah.
Just have to take your time.
Take it easy. And of course, along when there's rain, so people might be getting the flu. People who do get wet.
True.
In the rain too. So maybe that's a topic we could deal on. True, so what are we talking about today? I see a special name that I've never seen before.
So today we would like to speak about atrial fibrillation.
Mm.
So it's a big fancy word.
Yeah. Is there a common name for it?
Right. So we could say irregular heartbeat.
Oh, okay, right. Nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So a lot of people may know it as that, like, or short term we could say AFib.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So exactly what really is this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, essentially, atrial fibrillation is an irregular rhythm within the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the heart has four chambers. We have two atria and two ventricles. The atrial fibrillation occurs in the atria, usually on the left, and it may include both sides as well too. And I just want to say, all our listeners, remember that you can call in, and we have special numbers.
Our numbers of course are 627-3223 and 625-2257. Nice to be back in studio. And of course, you could WhatsApp us at 306-1065, our usual WhatsApp number, or feel free to message Sangeet and Sky 99.5 for any of your questions. And even though we're talking about this particular topic, feel free to message with any of your medical questions.
That's right. You know, and atrial fibrillation is quite common. And there are many different types. We have the one that comes on off and on.
Mm-hmm.
We have the one that is continuous. And then the one that you can't really change.
Mm-hmm.
We call that one chronic.
Right. So since it's a, like a skip in the heart, is it something that you feel?
Exactly.
Oh, okay,
right. Yeah. Some people may notice this as palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel the heart flutter.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Some people might think they're in love.
Yes. You know, and it's so funny that you might say that because there's something we call honeymoon syndrome.
Okay.
So when people go on their honeymoon and you actually consume a lot of alcohol,
right,
that can actually trigger an event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could trigger these palpitations and this atrial fibrillation.
Okay.
You know, so people have to be aware and be careful of that.
But it does have to be something that you would have been, you know, suffering from before.
So in that type of case, usually once you stop the alcohol or you don't drink like that, you can be okay.
Yeah.
Meaning it doesn't have to happen again. Right? But then there are situations where you could have a structural problem with the heart, where the heart itself has problems, and that one now you would look at medication and different things like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the common symptoms of atrial fibrillation?
Yeah, so the common symptoms would include the palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
You can also have shortness of breath. You may or may not have chest pain, and you could have the cold sweating and dizziness as well too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it is quite similar to a heart attack in terms of the symptoms, but usually you don't have that specific type of chest pain unless you already have heart disease.
All right.
Yeah.
So is it something that you're born with, or is it the usual, you know, causes that we, you know, talk about? You don't exercise properly, not taking care, obesity, that sort of thing.
Exactly. So you are correct. Now, it's something that you tend to get with as the age in advances.
Mm-hmm.
So the older you get, when you have other comorbidities or risk factors, things like the obesity, things like diabetes and high blood pressure, we always go back to this.
Right.
And also if you have heart disease, and very importantly, sleep apnea.
Mm.
Yeah, this is the, you know, we talk about the snoring.
Right, right. Okay.
Right, that could actually change the structure in the heart and predispose you to the atrial fibrillation, and obviously drugs as well, stimulant drugs, and high stress can also cause it too.
Right, okay. And what are some of the risk factors of developing this AFib?
Yeah. So, you know, again, we go back to the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the as you get older as well, too. And essentially, you know, we spoke about the drugs as well, too, the obesity, the sleep apnea, as well as high stress states that could also cause it to happen.
Stress, but we always keep hearing about that stress.
Yeah, you know, stress is a very serious thing. And there's good stress and there's bad stress.
Good stress, what is an example of good stress?
So good stress would be the gym.
Okay.
So exercise. So when you exercise, you actually have what you call a short-term stress.
Right, put stress on the body.
Yeah, but after you finish exercise now, your baseline stress level actually goes down. So it's a good stress, yeah?
All right, okay. And how is this diagnosed?
Yeah. So usually when a patient complains of palpitations, etc., they usually would have at least a baseline ECG done. And on the ECG, we are able to diagnose atrial fibrillation, right? So you'll actually see a certain rhythm that would tell us, hey, okay, this person has atrial fibrillation. But if you are very suspicious and it doesn't show up on the ECG, we can always do further tests, which can include the 24-hour ECG or the Holter test. Some people say the Holster, right? But it's a Holter test, and it can even go up to a week depending on if you need it. And we may or may not do an echocardiogram, which is the ultrasound scan of the heart.
Nice. Okay. 10 minutes now after 12 o'clock, folks. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5 and Sangeet 106.1. Of course, our numbers are 6273-223, 625-2257 and 306-106. Five. Somebody mentioned here. So, we always talk about the difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack, right? But this seems to be something else. Any reference within the two or similarities in the two?
In terms of the panic attack and the AFib? So if you notice, a lot of these conditions that we are speaking about, they have similar symptoms,
right?
Yeah. And that is why, you know, when you come to the doctor, you have to be very clear so that we can actually determine which one is it. Is it the heart attack? Is it heart failure? Is it a panic attack? Is it atrial fibrillation? Right. Now, we have different tests that we can do to distinguish between all of them, right? But the it's very funny because if you have anxiety and you also have atrial fibrillation, one can trigger the other, right? Because in atrial fibrillation now, the heart is usually beating extremely fast.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes the heart rate can be 120 going up to even 200, depending, right? And you can imagine if you are getting that sensation, the palpitations and feeling lightheaded, that in itself can trigger the feeling of impending doom, which can trigger the panic attack. So now you have a vicious cycle, and the panic attack will cause your heart to race even more. And, you know, soon enough, you will be in the hospital.
All right. Okay. We will get a call coming in there. Feel free to call us back. Call us 627-3223 and 625-2257. Lunchtime doctor right here. In terms of the heart rate, and then we have, let's take the call. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
If you're suffering with like pressure, heart, and stroke, they say do not eat processed foods. Processed, right?
Yes.
So, what about the canned beans and peas and the tuna?
Right. Good. Excellent question. So, the problem with the canned foods is really the preservatives as well as the salt content. So, generally, that is the main thing you have to worry about. So, if you are using canned foods, I would suggest you wash it out, because sometimes they have this thing they call brine, and all these different substances. So the main issue with the canned food is the preservatives. The food is, I would say, sound, but the the preservatives and the salt content is very high. So if you have high blood pressure, you want to be careful with the canned foods. You want to rinse them out before you use it.
And then some people put more salt on top of that a little flavor, you know?
Exactly, right? You see why high blood pressure is so common in our society, right?
Yeah. Now, I was asking about what the heart rate missing and then the pulse rate.
Yes.
I mean, which one is more, you know, detrimental?
Right. Yeah, so the pulse rate is actually a reflection of the heart rate.
Oh, okay.
So when you feel the pulse, you actually are feeling the impulse from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the two are synonymous somewhat. However, in atrial fibrillation, when it comes to feeling the pulse, the pulse rate may be inaccurate, right? And even the blood pressure that you use, the cuffs, may be inaccurate because of the irregularity of the heart itself. So when you come to the hospital, we actually listen to the heart itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we listen to the heartbeat, and we get the rate from the heart, not necessarily from the pulse.
Okay. Right. I was saying, and there's an app that you could download on your phone to tell you pulse rate and heart rate. Are those things, you know, okay to do?
So from what the evidence is saying, I believe it has been FDA approved, right, to measure the pulse rate. So is for a diagnosis of the atrial fibrillation, I would not feel secure in using it for it. However, if you have it already and you want to monitor it, definitely it is a useful tool.
All right, okay, great. Let's take a short break and we'll be right back, folks, with your lunchtime doctor for today.
Attention all listeners, are you ready for the ultimate news experience? Introducing the Trinidad and Tobago Guardian, the nation's first and most subscribed newspaper. We deliver where others can't. With the widest delivery network in TNT, you can have the Guardian delivered right to your doorstep or office every single day. Take advantage of our special annual subscription offer so you can stay on top of the leading stories even when you're on the go. Sign up today. Time is running out. Inquire about our 3-month and 6-month packages as well.
When the strong pain strikes, take Panadol Ultra. Panadol Ultra relieves fast 5 types of pain, such as migraine, tooth pain, headache, osteoarthritis pain, and muscle pain. Feel the pain starting to fade while you go back to yourself. Panadol, release starts here. For the strong pain, take Panadol Ultra.
All right, folks, we're back at you. Lunchtime Doctor. Remember our number 627-3223, 625-2257 for any of your medical questions. Also, feel free to WhatsApp us in studio 306-1065. We're talking about atrial fibrillation, or AFib for short, right? So how does what are some of the treatment options for this type of...
So the treatment can be complex, but we break it down into three things. One is rate control, which means we want to control the heart rate. Two is rhythm control, which means is the heart in a proper rhythm or is it not? And then the final part is, do you need blood thinners or do you need anticoagulation, which is a stronger form of a blood thinner? So when you come to the hospital, you would find that depending on the state that you're in, are you unstable or are you stable? When you say unstable, that means that the vital signs are off, you know, you are critically ill. At that point in time, we have to act very quickly because you can die, right? Because the heart rate, if you leave it alone going very fast for too long, you can end up, you could die, essentially, right? So then now we want to slow down the heart rate. That is the most important thing. But the problem is sometimes the AFib is actually complicated by heart failure. So you can imagine how problematic that is. So the heart is going very fast, and now the lungs are getting filled with fluid, right? So now you can't breathe, you're having chest pain, you're cold sweating, the blood pressure is low. Right, so that's a critical patient. So then after moving forward, we decide if we need to do something called cardioversion, which means we putting back the rhythm into a normal rhythm, right? Usually that depends on different things, including the age. And then the last thing would be the blood thinners or the anticoagulation. There are certain scores that we use to determine if you only need something like aspirin or if we need to use something stronger, like one of the oral blood anticoagulants. You know, so there are a lot of different things we look at for to decide if you are a candidate for it or not, or if it can cause a lot of bleeding for you, which will be bad.
All right, here's a question. Doc, I've always heard of taking, if I just mentioned aspirin, taking aspirin for a healthy heart. Is this true?
So that's a good question. So aspirin is used in what we call primary prevention. that's what we call single antiplatelet therapy. Now, not everyone needs it. Yeah, so you're not just going to go and start using aspirin by yourself, right? The doctor will tell you if it's recommended or not. So usually certain people who have certain comorbidities, for example, diabetes or high blood pressure or both, and you have not had a stroke or a heart attack, then we look at different things to say, okay, I want you to be on aspirin lifelong, you know, to prevent a stroke or a heart attack.
And what is the prescribed or the amount number of aspirin? You know, that comes in different, you know, the measurements.
Usually,
strength.
Usually we give the baby dose, so it'd usually be 81 milligrams, and that is usually the standard daily. But you know that it can vary depending on if things are very bad. Meaning, like if you are very sick, then we can decide to increase the dose or not.
All right. So how does fib increase the risk of a stroke?
Excellent question. So what happens in a normal heart is every time it beats, it forces out most of the blood from the heart. At least 55% or so blood is gone from the heart every time it pumps. Now, in atrial fibrillation, the heart is fibrillating. What that means is the heart is not pumping efficiently. So now the muscles are sort of wiggling or waving, and you're not getting a proper contraction. So what that means is you have blood being static, or you have stasis of blood. Now, anytime blood is not moving, you can have a clot.
Right?
So usually about 48 hours is the time needed for a clot to form. Right? So if you are not on the blood thinners, or you need the blood thinners and you haven't been taking it or you haven't been prescribed it, then the risk of stroke gets exceedingly high. So what happens now? The blood coagulates or clots in the heart. And then let's say the heart goes back into a normal rhythm. When it pumps, that clot could be dislodged from the heart straight up to the brain. Now you have a stroke.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just this morning, an old colleague of mine, former colleague of mine, who is in the hospital in the ICU.
Right.
Right. He had a heart problem some years back. And over the weekend, when he was saying he wasn't feeling well, and he ended up in ICU there.
Oh, man.
I think it could be, you know, probably something like this, but if really and truly anything with the heart, you need to take it very, very serious.
Very seriously, yeah. Because, like, even in the workup for stroke, that is why we sometimes do the ultrasound of the heart to see if there are any clots there. And we will do the ultrasound of the neck as well, too, to look for clots in the carotid arteries as well, too.
All right. Yeah. And how can lifestyle changes help manage? I mean, this is something that you manage. It is not, there's no cure. Once you have it, you have it.
Yeah, it depends on which type you have, but generally speaking, yes. So lifestyle modification is the same as for the other conditions, like the high blood pressure and the diabetes. So you want to exercise, right? Obviously, you're doing gradual incrementations of increases, right? And also the diet, right? You don't want to be eating all these fast foods, the high fatty foods, and the highly ultra-processed foods as well, too, because they're not good for the heart, right? And they will promote things like inflammation, which will lead to clots and all these things. And you can actually affect the heart in terms of the high blood pressure as well, too.
All right.
So, yeah, it's paramount. And definitely smoking. You want to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
The alcohol as well, too.
Yeah.
I would suggest limit or stop if you can.
Right.
Yeah, those are the most powerful things you can do.
Right, you answered a question already there that somebody messaged here. Can alcohol lead to irregular heartbeat
definitely.
If you had surgery for a narrow pulmonary artery?
Ooh, yeah. So it's very interesting because in the pulmonary veins, there's a procedure called radiofrequency ablation where we actually burn the pulmonary veins in the back to kind of destroy part of the stimulus for the AFib.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a call?
Yeah, of course. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
If you have someone with heart problems and a stroke in your brain, and if you don't get enough breathe,
easy
direct on your face, you can't breathe properly.
Okay.
Right. I'm not sure what was the question, but...
No, but they said, well, probably that is their personal experience, that they had to put the AC on their face to breathe. They had to be directly, AC directly blowing on them to breathe. Is it because they're depending on the air-to-air because they can't breathe on their own?
I would say that they should probably go to the doctor, you know, because that sounds like this person has congestion in terms of fluid in the lungs. Because if you're having difficulty breathing, that is one of the most common things if you have heart disease. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So they maybe need to limit the fluid, maybe they need more of the diuretic medication, things like that to help them breathe. Because you want to have a good quality of life.
Right.
You understand? You don't want to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you have a condition or illness, you want to manage it so that you could have a good quality of life. You know, go around and do your work and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. So you were finishing answering the question here about the narrow pulmonary artery.
Yeah. So we have techniques that actually can burn some of the tissue in the back of the pulmonary vein, which is usually the cause of the stimulus or the site for atrial fibrillation. That is one of the techniques. If this person had problems with the pulmonary artery before, that can set them up for pulmonary hypertension, right? Which is a whole different topic, right? But that can cause a lot of blood in the area and the vicinity there. And if the pressures go very high, it can translate into the heart, and this can lead to atrial fibrillation in the long term.
I don't know yet to talk about even lifestyle changes. I mean, we always talk about, you know, exercising in the gym. But for those who may not be able to make it to the gym or may be a little reluctant to join the gym, what are some other things that they could do?
Yeah, good. So, you know, we talk about gym and all these things, but it's not mandatory. This is just the norm for some people. But outdoors activities are numerous. There are different things you can do. And I always say the easiest thing to do is walk.
Right.
Walking, you know, you have no excuse. Literally walking has been proven.
Some people might say the sun or the rain.
Well, true.
But if you make up an excuse, trust me, you'll...
You're right, eh? You know, but you could walk in the house, right? Back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
You could jog on the spot, you know? So there's really no excuse unless you are disabled.
Right.
And okay, that is an excuse where you can't walk, but there are machines that you could buy with the hands, so you could do the hand, like a bike for the hands, that is an option.
Yeah.
There's aqua therapy.
Right.
You know, there are many different things. So, you know, if you are looking for a problem, you'll always find an excuse. But you need to try to look for the solution.
Right, okay. Well, there's a will, there's always a way.
Exactly.
Why then, what role we spoke about is stress plays in triggering atrial fibrillation episode stress?
Yeah. So when you have a lot of stressful situations or events, you actually release adrenaline, right?
All right, let's just take a call and we get back to that. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, can a doctor go and see for fluid in the lungs? Because I seen a heart specialist and they never tell me nothing like that.
Yes, the heart specialist is actually one of the best persons for that when you have heart failure. Essentially, I'm not sure of the extent of your investigation. So just because you saw someone it doesn't mean that everything was done, or there are a lot of different factors we have to look at. Did you have an echocardiogram for the heart? Mm-hmm. All these different things have to be taken into consideration for every patient, right? Because every patient needs something different. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. So I would say you have to look at, were all the tests that were required for you done? And if not, then why? Because, monetary thing is an issue too. We have to know that, sometimes a test is very expensive, mm-hmm. and maybe you can't afford it. So now you may be not getting the best treatment because of that. There are many different factors, mm-hmm. But back to the question with the stress. Mm-hmm. So when you have stress, you release adrenaline. And adrenaline causes a lot of things to happen in the body, which, just think about it like a panic attack. Adrenaline is responsible for flight or fight response. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have the heart contracting very hard and forcefully. You're going to have constriction of all the arteries, and you're going to get this intense impulse to either run or fight. And this, over time, can lead to atrial fibrillation too.
All right. Well, once again, folks, 12:29, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangeet 106.1. Do feel free to call us with any of your medical questions. 627-3223. 625-2257. WhatsApp us at 306-1065. You can message Sangeet on Sky, and they will send your messages right here to us in studio. That is regular monitoring for people living with atrial fibrillation.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And at the baseline, I think that everyone should have their blood pressure and pulse monitored, mm-hmm. at least twice a day, morning and evening. You have your logbook, you write down your blood pressure and the pulse. That logbook is so important. Anytime you go to the doctor or wherever you need to go, that is very important so they can see the trend. So they can know, you were doing good until yesterday. What happened yesterday? Did you take a new medication? Did you get sick? So now it comes to the point of, how can you keep well? How can you remain out of hospital? How can you not end up in the emergency department? I think that is the most important thing we need to look at. So how can we do this? So one, we talk about the lifestyle changes. We talk about the logs. Now the next most important thing is the medications. So if you were prescribed medications, right, there are things that we use to slow down the heart rate. That is the most basic thing. If you were prescribed those medications, please make sure that you take them. Because I can tell you that it just takes you to miss one dose, just one dose, and you will be visiting the emergency department in the night, because the heart has been racing off, you have been shortness of breath. We don't want this to happen, right? Mm-hmm. That is one. Two, one of the other causes of what we would call a decompensation in the AFib is infection, right? So infection, long story short, can increase your heart rate, right? Or sepsis, this can increase the heart rate because now the body is fighting to clear this infection, increasing blood flow to the area and all these things, right? So infection, if you have atrial fibrillation and you get an infection, take it very seriously, right? A simple thing like a UTI or even a throat infection. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go and see a doctor because you may need the antibiotics. Right. So you get the antibiotic and that will essentially control the infection so you don't have the decompensation in the atrial fibrillation.
All right, somebody message here. In terms of our treadmills, is it better to walk on it flat or inclined?
It depends on what you want. Now, if you are going for high intensity, the incline is your best friend, right? And when you go up to like 15 on the incline, that is very strenuous on the heart. So the recommendations would be 75 minutes per week of that if you are doing the incline, right? If you just want to be, steady state cardio or low intensity, it can be flat. So it all depends on what you want to do. So if you want to commit to the 150 minutes, you go flat, right? If you want to do the 75 minutes intense, you carry up the incline and you do that. So it's up to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
And of course, what about spin bikes?
Spin bikes, again, are very useful. Mm. So you could do the same 150 minute on like a low setting, or if you want to be very extreme, you go up and carry the intensity very high, and then you do your 75 minutes. And when we say high intensity, that means you are not able to carry on a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody's talking to you, oh, you know, I can't speak right now, you know, mm-hmm. that is the intensity we're talking about. So you have to know, you know, these things when you exercise.
Yeah, but you know, there are some people who are to speak like that, I mean, out of breath normal on a regular basis, and they would not go and get any help, you know?
That is very bad, it's true, you know, mm-hmm. because I find if you have anything abnormal from your baseline, so let's say you're walking around good, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, you can't walk up these stairs like you used to before. That is alarming, mm. right? That is not something to just sit down on and say, oh, well, okay. No, that is a sign that something is wrong. It could be the heart, right? So why would you wait and sit down until it's too late? You know, I think any little change says that, okay, maybe I go to the health center, maybe I go by my GP. Mm. Just see what's going on, right? Because this is your body. You have one body, you know? You don't want to wait until, oh, well, you know, I had a stroke. But no, you know that the blood pressure was high from years ago, not so?
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to wait. If the blood pressure is high, you want to bring it down.
Mm.
As simple as that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just changing habits, lifestyle.
Yeah.
Lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And of course, someone with, you know, if they suspect that they have the atrial fibrillation, mm-hmm. you know, what should they do?
Yeah. So if you suspect that, meaning you're having palpitations, mm. definitely go to the doctor, right? I would say that it depends on which doctor you go to. So if you are critical, right, meaning you're having shortness of breath, chest pain, you know, dizziness, feeling to blackout, you go into the emergency department, right? If you just have a palpitation, then you go to the health center because that is not necessarily an emergency.
All right, good afternoon. What are your thoughts on heart health and veganism? Mm.
Well, I would say that veganism is associated with a lower risk of coronary artery disease. But, you know, we have to look at everything, the whole picture, right? The whole body. So, you know, you might win in one area mm-hmm. and then lose in another area,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, dear doctor, is yoga good to do for anybody with heart issues?
Yoga is very good to do. Mm-hmm. There are different forms of exercise. It's a type of resistance training somewhat. It more involves static holds. And it is probably one of the safer things that you could do if you have heart disease. But definitely, if you have had a heart attack recently, right, you don't want to be doing any sort of exercise. 6 weeks at least, right, because the heart is very vulnerable. So that is why you have to listen to the doctor, and they will tell you, okay, it's safe to exercise now, you know. And for example, if you have like blockages in your artery that have been confirmed with a coronary angiogram, you have to be very cautious in exercise because that can trigger clot dislodgement and essentially end up with another heart attack.
Okay, Fusa. 1227, of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. WhatsApp us at 3061065 with any of your medical questions. Good afternoon to those of you all just joining us. We're talking about atrial fibrillation today, or AFib for short. Once again, as we go over it, what exactly is atrial fibrillation?
Yeah, so for those who just joined in, atrial fibrillation is an irregular heart rhythm, mm-hmm. right? Now, the heart has four chambers, two ventricles, which are the bigger chambers, and then two atria, which are the smaller ones. Atrial fibrillation usually occurs in the smaller ones, mm-hmm. and the smaller ones are responsible for putting blood in the bigger one, which then goes to the rest of the body. So if the heart is beating irregularly, then the blood is not getting to move through the heart as it should, right? The heart is a pump, and it's supposed to pump out blood very nicely and controlled and orderly. But in the fibrillation, it's just what it means. The heart fibrillates. So it sort of shakes and it doesn't beat properly. So therefore, you could have difficulties getting blood around the body. It could set you up for strokes, for sure. It is one of the important things that we look at when somebody has a stroke. And it's very important, if you have it and you had a stroke, that, you know, you're going to be placed on some very potent blood thinners to prevent clots from forming and to prevent you from having another stroke. Because let's face it, you can have one stroke and that could be the end, right? And if it's not the end, what happens? Well, you can have difficulties with moving where, you know, the whole right side of your body is gone. You can't walk, right? Then it could even be you can't speak. It could even be that you can't swallow. So now they have to put in the tube in the nose, right? That goes into the stomach. And now you have to be fed through that tube, you know? So you want to avoid a stroke as best and as much as possible if you have atrial fibrillation. That is one of the biggest things that, as doctors, we try to avoid and prevent.
Let's get a WhatsApp message here.
Hi, good afternoon, Doc. How do you know if you're getting heart fibrillation? Thanks.
Right, so usually you feel a palpitation, or you may feel a fluttering on the heart, or the heart may be beating irregularly or abnormally. Any sort of sensation like that means that it should be investigated, because I want everybody to understand this. Atrial fibrillation is just one of the arrhythmias or the irregular heart rhythms. There are many. So today we are just speaking about atrial fibrillation, but most of them present in the same way, right? But some can present worse than others. Atrial fibrillation is, you know, one of the least catastrophic ones in terms of, you know, immediate death and things like that, right? There are others like ventricular fibrillation. Well, that most times results in death one time, once you have that, right? So we are talking about one of the less severe ones. But obviously, with time, you can end up increasing your risk for a stroke. And again, we do want that to happen.
All right. Good day, Doc. What is the relationship with varicose veins and cardiovascular systems?
So how it works is the heart pumps blood to the body, and it does so by arteries. Now, when the arteries reach the organs, right, you have capillaries and venules which go into the veins, and now the veins returns blood to the heart. So in terms of the relationship would be that the varicose veins, right, would have pooling of blood, right? So the veins are meant to send blood back to the heart. So as we say, the heart is a pump, the veins have a sort of suctioning effect from the heart. So the heart is supposed to suck blood from the veins back to the heart. Now, if you have varicose veins, there are different reasons for it, but sometimes the valves in the vein themselves not working well. And now blood could pool in those veins, the veins become tortuous, swollen, the ankles now could become swollen as well too. So one of the treatments is, well, you elevate the leg in the night, you avoid standing for long periods, and you may need like the compression stockings and stuff. So that's the relation.
All right. Afternoon, Doc. I'm 56 years of age. The doctor told me I have an irregular heartbeat.
Right.
My resting heart rate in the morning is sometimes 49 to 47.
Right.
I walk for an hour three to four times per week.
Okay.
Is this good for me? Thanks.
That's a very good question. So definitely the heart rate is low, right? Now, there are different reasons for a low heart rate, but one of them is being athletic. So generally what we can say is the lower the heart rate, the more efficient your heart is pumping, right? Because the lower the heart rate is, that's saying that the heart is able to give enough blood to the body, right? So it's very strong. right? Now, there is a rare situation where the atrial fibrillation can cause a low heart rate. This is on the rarer side, right? So if you are walking, right, the hour three times a week, I would say that once you are not having dizziness or any sort of chest pain while you're doing it, I would say that is excellent, right? And it will definitely help to protect your heart from coronary artery disease, and it could potentially help the atrial fibrillation in terms of keeping things going and preventing it from triggering off, right? But definitely if you are doing it and then your heart starts to race and you can't bring it down, then you have to go to the doctor. There's also sometimes what we call the pill in a pocket approach, where you are actually given certain medications to use only if, you know, you want to slow down the heart rate, only if the heart rate goes off. Mm. It's a useful tool.
Yeah, another question here. What can cause, this is something we mentioned before, but you know, people will be joining in and out.
Yeah.
What can cause irregular heartbeats? Walking or consuming too much alcohol and beers?
Yeah. Definitely alcohol has been associated with AFib, right? Especially for one, if you don't drink and then you go on a binge, definitely associated with it. Or if you are regularly consuming a lot of alcohol, right? Including beers, right? That could trigger it off very easily. In terms of walking, it depends. If you're now starting and you're walking very vigorously and you have AFib, I would say be very cautious. But if you are walking for a long time before, it's usually okay to continue, because now we want to talk about your overall health. Atrial fibrillation is just one condition that you have with the heart, but there are many other things that you want to prevent. You know, people could live years with the AFib. The problem is the complications of it, right, which would be the stroke. So you can imagine if the heart is not healthy and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you have AFib and you get a stroke, well, I mean, how are you going to exercise now? That ship has sailed, right? Unless you have good physiotherapy and proper rehabilitation techniques, then maybe, just maybe, you may get back to normalcy.
All right, 50 minutes away from 1 o'clock, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor. Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangit 106.1. Our numbers here, of course, are 6273-223, 625-2257, and WhatsApp us at 306-1065. What divides the heart into two sides?
So there's something called the septum, right? So there's a septum in the middle of the heart that goes from top to bottom. And it's sort of something like a wall. So just imagine it as a wall that separates it into two sides. And then between the ventricle and the atria, there's also another wall. So it's like a cross in the middle of the heart. They separate all the different components of the heart. And then the blood goes through them via valves. So these valves are like little doors that open up. Every time the heart beats, it opens and closes. And if there's any problem with the door, then that is big problems for the heart. You could have what you call valvular heart disease, which has its host of complications as well. Yeah.
Right. Is the heart an organ or a muscle?
The heart is both. It's an organ that is a muscle. Right? So think about it like this. We have different types of muscle, right? Don't want to get too complex, but we have skeletal muscle. This is the like your biceps. We have smooth muscle. This is the muscle that lines your arteries, right? It can also contract and relax too. And you have cardiac muscle. And this is the muscle that lines the heart. So the heart is a muscle, but there are also other components too.
Yeah. Of course, tomorrow is a holiday and we won't be here tomorrow. And tomorrow is usually Women's Wednesdays. But does AFib differ between men and women?
Yeah, that's a good question. Men appear more likely to get it than women. And especially as men age, they actually tend to get it too. And a very unusual thing we have seen is that apparently it's commoner or more common in taller people.
Taller people?
Yeah.
Why is that?
That's a good question. Yeah. We don't have the answer to. Maybe it's because of the effect of gravity on the heart, because we don't know. But we just found that out, you know?
Well, height affects your heart.
Yeah, so I have to be careful because, you know, I'm a tall guy.
What about those basketballers?
Oh, my.
And later.
Shaq had sleep apnea, right? Like, it's a big thing. He had it. He was snoring because he was very big.
He's
nearly 7 feet, if not more, right? And he had sleep apnea. He had high blood pressure as well. I'm not sure if he had AFib, right? But maybe he just didn't see it. And he actually got CPAP, right? This is the two prongs that they put in the nose, and you push high flow oxygen while you are sleeping. Because when he was sleeping, he was snoring, and he was not breathing properly.
You can imagine Shaq snoring, right?
Yeah.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes,
sir.
And the doc.
Hello.
I believe because the high ICP, I believe it's too much of a horse, so they have to pump the blood to go more high or more low. How cool that it is, it's just an strain to the heart, I believe. And exactly which part in the chest the heart is, it some say the center, some say the left side?
Good.
Where is the heart located?
Yeah, so excellent question. Now, the heart is located so the sternum is the middle of the chest, right? So behind the middle of the chest is the right border of the heart, right? And now the heart is like a boot. So think about a boot. It's boot-shaped. So imagine the back of the boot is right behind the sternum or the middle of the chest, right? And then it extends to around the nipple,
right? But on the left side, right?
Yeah, on the left, going towards the left. So that is generally the shape and the anatomy or the location of the heart. Boot shape behind the middle of the chest is the right border of the heart, and then now the tip or the end of the boot where the toes are located is usually around the nipple. So that is how you could really envision it.
And what is the connection between the heart and the lungs and kidneys?
Okay. So, excellent question. Now, the lungs are located around the heart, right? So you have a left lung and a right lung. And the heart kind of sits at the bottom of the left lung, right? It kind of borders in it somewhat. Now, the connection is really vascular, meaning the pulmonary arteries would carry blood to the lung, and then the pulmonary veins carry blood back to the heart. So that is really the connection between the heart and the lung. Now remember, the lung's purpose is to breathe in air and oxygenate the blood. And that oxygenated blood is carried to the heart, and the heart pumps that oxygenated blood to the body, which include the kidneys, because the kidneys get blood from what we call the renal arteries, right? And then as the blood returns, as we said when we were talking about the varicose veins, as the blood leaves the organs, it becomes deoxygenated, meaning there's no or little oxygen from that blood now, and that comes back into the heart where it can be supplied with oxygen again from the lungs. So it's a nice cycle that you have with oxygenated blood and deoxygenated blood.
Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Hello? All right, folks, once again, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor. Try us again, 627-3223 or 625-2257. WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Of course, we're in Sky 99.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, and right here on Freedom 106.5, where we were talking about atrial fibrillation, missing beat in the heart. So you could but you could actually put your hand in your chest and feel your heart beat, and you could feel if it misses or not.
You could actually feel if the heart is fluttering or not, right? But the tip of the heart, if you feel by the nipple area, that would be the ventricle.
Right.
So if that is fluttering, well, that is more problematic than the AFib, right? Because that's more serious, extremely serious, right? So serious that if we detect something like that, that means you either need very potent medication to reconstitute the rhythm of the heart, or you might even need something like a pacemaker and an intracardiac defibrillator, right?
Yeah. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Well, I have a pacemaker.
Yes.
And they told me that my heart was slowing down. And So what is the cause? Mm-hmm. What do your pacemaker doing?
Ah, good. Okay, good question. So usually there are many different indicators for a pacemaker. I suspect that is one of two things. There's something called bradycardia. All that means is that the heart is beating very slow, right? Usually under 50 beats per minute, right? The question is this causing you symptoms or is this causing you problems or not? For example, me, my heart rate sometimes is 45, 46, right? But it doesn't cause me any issues. As we get older, right? Now, even for women, you can actually have bradycardia or slow heart rate, and it causes things like blacking out, right? Mm. And dizziness or chest pain. If any of these three things happen, then that means you need emergency sorting out. So essentially, we put a pacemaker, and what the pacemaker does is the pacemaker increases your heart rate, right? Because the heart itself has pacemaker cells in it. These control the heart rhythm and the rate. So the pacemaker now forces the heart to beat 60 beats, boom, 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 boom. So now it's like you are controlling the heart rate with this electrical device. So it's not going to go under 60, right? And you're not going to feel ill, right? So the pacemaker will usually keep your heart fixed at 60, maybe 60 to 80, depending on how they set it, right? And you should be fine, right? People live years, 20 years plus with the pacemaker. And if you are prescribed medication, then you make sure and take the medication, because sometimes you need medication as well too.
All right, what about pregnant women and AFib? Just now, before we answer that, let's take the call. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Doc.
Hello.
Could you tell me what is the difference between PAF and AF?
Ah, excellent question. So PAF is paroxysmal AFib, AFib. So remember, we said we have different types. What paroxysmal means is that the rhythm goes into AFib intermittently. So it means that, let's say today your heart rate is normal, the rhythm is normal. Tomorrow, you can get atrial fibrillation, right? And then the next day it goes back to normal. That is PAF. Now, PAF is actually worse than consistent AFib, because the risk for stroke is higher. I won't get into why, but just know that it is worse than AFib because the risk of stroke is higher.
Maybe that's why they give me, at the hospital, they give me a tablet.
Xarelto?
A blood thinner. They give me a blood thinner to sort of regularize that.
You're not sure the name?
Xarelto.
Yeah, Xarelto, yeah. That is one of the common...
Xarelto.
Yes, good. So please make sure...
They told me that I had PAF.
Yes, so make sure you take your Xarelto, because if you miss it, you are looking for a stroke. You understand what I'm saying? So
I'm taking it regularly.
Excellent, man.
And remember the friend I told you that I found out he is in the hospital, they said he was not taking his medication.
You see, right? So I understand, guys, believe me, I understand that nobody wants to take medication, right? Everybody says, yeah, I'll do my diet, I'll do my exercise. But the fact that the doctor prescribed the meds for you says that either it wasn't doing it or it wasn't working, right? Which means you now need to be responsible. You say, here, what? I am going to fix this. You take your medication, and then there's still the ability where, okay, you do your exercise, you do your diet. Maybe, just maybe, you come off the medication, right? But don't fool yourself. If the doctor has prescribed the medication and say, well, I you know, the fact that he prescribed it is saying that you have gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for prevention. Right. But once you get to that point, things are serious.
All right, so we have about a minute again. So we were talking about the pregnant woman and AFib.
A pregnant woman with AFib. So yes, when you're pregnant, you can have AFib. Mm. Usually what happens is they would put you on blood thinners, usually in the injection form, so that it can be reversed or wear off if it needs to be reversed, right? But yes, and you can have a delivery with it, but you just have to be very, very cautious because there's increased risk of clots in pregnancy as well. We know this, PEs especially, and DVT. So it's just, you know, you have to be careful. Yeah.
All right, of course, yeah, man. So very interesting topic today. Yeah. Lots of calls concerning the heart, AFib. So any final words there, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just want to say if something's wrong with your body, get it checked out. If it's an emergency, true emergency, go to the emergency department. If it's something minor, go to the health facility because we know that the public system can be overwhelmed at times. So once you go to the correct place, then this would not happen and you won't be waiting 10 hours and all these different things.
And if you take care of yourself in the first place,
all right,
you might not have to go in the hospital.
Exactly.
So please, prevention is better than cure.
And enjoy your all day tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much. You've been listening, folks, of course, to the Lunchtime Doctor.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.